Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Chuck Bile and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. There's all kinds of stuff going on today, so we're going to be kind of wide-ranging. And feel free, if you want to, if you're going to join us on Zoom, go ahead and you can unmute yourself and chat. Otherwise, you can call in 888. I always forget the number. Well, I'll get it here in a second. Most people have the number. And feel free. Oh, wait, never mind. Thank you, Thomas. Saves us again. 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. But wanted to start off with, I think this is it's huge in a lot of ways, that Trump on social media this morning in True Social, Chuck, posted, and I'm sure you saw it, a huge post today about he wants to lead a federal push to get rid of mail-in ballots. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting because it'll be pretty easy, not easy, relatively easier to make federal elections if you can't use mail-in ballots, because they control, if you can get Congress to do it, big if, but if you can get Congress to do it, you don't have to get each separate state to do it for their state elections, and they'll be, bereaved to have mail-in ballots for some things, but not other things and all that.
And I think it's huge in a lot of ways. I mean, Colorado, first, Donald Trump correctly points out the United States is the only country in the world to have mail-in ballots, right? And while the convenience is easy to see, the opportunities for fraud and corruption are also easy to see, which we've all seen repeatedly over the years. Colorado, I mean, has been completely Democrat ever since they started. The all mail ballot. We've seen story after story after story, despite the fake news trying to tell you, oh, there are no instances of ballot fraud. I mean, you see people earlier this week, a city council race in Michigan, they show the guy stuffing ballots, in the thing. So we've here in Colorado, we've seen instances of dozens of ballots being mailed to like weird locations that are not homes for people who haven't lived there, if ever, certainly not for a long time, and yet they're being voted, right? So the Democrats obviously love this system because they've got systems, legal or not so legal, in place to get these ballots and then vote the ballots illegally and send them in. And then you've got an attorney general, you've got all these people who just don't care, so nothing happens. So I think Trump, I think he's unlikely to get people in Colorado to pass it. The Democrats control things.
Well, he doesn't have to, as long as you can force them to do federal elections. All the congressional elections and for president. And so that would be huge. I mean, that'd be absolutely huge. So I don't know if you can get it. I don't know if you have some kind of bill that they can, it's not subject to the filibuster, shove it in something, some reconciliation package. But it's his problem before, which is one of my pet peeves in life, is, I'd point out to everybody that as a practical matter, saying everybody ought to go to vote on election day is the most disastrous policy you could have.
As long as we have mail-in ballots.
Yeah, well, if you can't mail in your ballot, then there is there is no choice but going.
But I mean, the problem isn't showing up on election day. The problem is, just to be clear, you're not opposed to people voting in person on election day. I think it'd be the best.
If everybody had to do it, it'd be the best thing possible. But as a practical matter, if one side does mail-in ballots and the other side just all show up at the polls, the people showing up at the polls cannot win. And the reason they can't win is to get out the vote one. If you have all your people vote early, then you have all the records on who hasn't voted, and you go out and get those people to vote. If you have everybody vote on election day, then you don't know. Maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you won't know whether people have voted or not. So it's a sure way of not being able to get all. And people obviously have emergencies come up, and child problems, and health problems. Everything by having everybody show up on one day. And as here in Colorado, what they did, the Democrats do, where they get in the voting booth and just screw around for an hour
Right.
and prevent people from doing it. And then down in Arizona, they had the machines jam. I mean, the idea that you're going to have everybody vote on one day and the other people vote over 30 days, who's going to win that election?
Right.
And it's amazing how many people I'd get pushback from, including some experts that say, well, then they'd know how to do the algorithms and everything else. I'm going, oh, give me a break. You're just destroying any chance Republicans have. So you'll see articles, Republicans warming up to mail-in ballots. Well, they have to adopt doing it until they can change it. You know,
Right.
as the analogy we've given is a 3-point shooting. I mean, you may not like 3-point shooting, but until it's changed, you better be able to shoot, have 3-point shooters and guards against it and everything else. Whether you like it or not is irrelevant. Those are the rules, and those are the rules you have to play by. And just to kind of give it up means surely losing elections. And that's how dumb Republicans are. I mean, they have no chance of winning an election in which they have all the, they just show up to the ballot and
But
Democrats
I
have
think Trump is
days.
not proposing that, though.
He did propose it
But
two
that's not what
election
he's
cycles
talking about
ago.
with this mail-in
I got
ballot.
it, Julie. He's not talking about that now. He's talking about getting rid of mail-in ballots.
Right.
There's two things you can do at the same time. One, you can try to get rid of mail-in ballots, and I think you should, but unless and until you get rid of mail-in ballots, then you've got to adopt that system and go ahead and get your voters to mail in their ballots. It's not a hard concept to figure out. Until they change the 3-point rule, you've got to play by the 3-point rule.
Well, I think what's also good, though, and again, how much effort and is, of all the things that Trump has to get done, I'm not sure how,
It's incredibly high on his list.
but
Incredibly high.
he's talking, I think it's interesting that he worded it, he wants to lead the movement, right? And I think what he's doing, and Trump, we've seen him do that, is he sort of starts the conversation. And I think what's particularly important is, because you know he's going to get pushback from it, from the Democrats here and well, all over, but in Colorado in particular. I think it's good because once again, people are being red-pilled. Right, people that now the conversation has started. You've got the president talking about it. It makes it harder for YouTube to ban you for saying that you shouldn't have mail-in ballots. It makes it harder for them. It just opens the door. And I think, given everything that people have seen over these last couple of years, people no longer, you can't just say anymore, oh, we're from the government, trust us, right? Oh, we have a gold standard election system, trust us. People just right now aren't willing to buy that. And you're seeing, and the media keeps trying to say, the Hunter Biden laptop story was a Russia hoax. They keep saying it, even though everyone knows it's not, and no one believes them anymore.
But I'm not sure Republicans can walk and chew gum at the same time, which is do everything they can to get rid of mail-in ballots while mail-in ballots are in place to employ them to the greatest degree possible. Can Republicans do that? I mean, it's
Well,
like
not in
rubbing your
Colorado.
stomach and tapping your head. Republicans may not be smart
Fortunately,
enough to do that.
I think Trump wants to lead the effort. So maybe,
Well,
hopefully,
then lead.
Trump.
All it has to do is with Congress. It'll lead the
Well, that's what
effort.
I'm saying is, I hopefully Trump isn't going to leave it up to the states and things. I guess I'm just kind of jokingly agreeing with you that if you were to leave it up to Republicans, that they would screw it up. But hopefully Trump is going to just kind of get it done. So anyway,
Well,
that's sort of the big news.
that is the big news, and all it has to do is get through Congress.
And Charlene says that's a lot to ask of a Republican,
It is.
which is
It
true.
is. I can promise you, I went to these meetings where the election integrity meetings, and they'd say, okay, to get rid of the algorithm, everybody go vote on one day and go, no, we're going to lose every election. They go, oh, no, we can't have the
Well, and the
algorithm.
thing is too is I think that you have people like the president and saying we need to do this before the midterms, right? Realizing that the Democrats, as we speak, are gearing up for this kind of thing, and so we need to be gearing up to, as you said, fight back on it in two levels. Number one, get rid of mail-in ballots in the first place, and number two, though, do our own ballot harvesting in the meantime.
Yes, there you go. There you go, everybody. You know, I would say about 62% of the Republican Party, that's too complicated. They won't be able to
Well,
figure it out. It'll be too
we'll see, and
mind-blowing
we'll see
for
what
them.
happens. You know, Trump has been able to ram a lot of things through, so we'll see. I wanted to, speaking of that, though, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Ukraine meeting. First of all, Zelensky wore a suit, but it was kind of a suit. It wasn't like a suit, but it was
No, they
kind of a
didn't have
suit.
his usual
Right.
combat
So
gear
t-shirt on. He had a
look.
t-shirt, I think, when he met with the general. Both all sides describe it as nice. They had everybody was there from Europe. The president made them all like took. Well, he didn't make them. They all took like sort of like the family picture kind of thing. Everyone describes the talks as it went well. And I guess step two now is to so he's talked to Russia, he's talked to Zelensky, and now the United States. The deal is to have them all talk together. Well, Russia. Putin with the United States. I think it's fun that people, the mainstream media, they just do not want peace by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no,
And they
we
keep saying,
got
well, what about a ceasefire? And Trump is like, well, we're just skipping that whole ceasefire concept. We're going to skip the ceasefire. We're just going to go straight to peace. And everyone's like, well, wait, how will the military industrial complex make money? But
Yeah.
I think what they're going to is they're now BlackRock and all those people, they're going to be rebuilding. So they've said, all right. We probably milked this as much as we can war-wise. And now we're going to do the rebuilding. But I think that Trump is making it clear to Zelensky that there's going to be some land concessions, don't you think?
Well, it's easy. The Russians have, to date anyway, said they want the eastern part of the Ukraine. It's about 20-25%. And of that 20-25%, they have 85% of it. But and they're fighting right now, losing 20,000 soldiers a month to getting that remaining 20% of the 20%. And once they have that, then the Russians will be pretty happy because that encompasses all the industrial areas and all the Russian-speaking areas, and they're kind of happy with that. The Ukrainians have said they will not give any land, and you kind of go, well, then there won't be any peace, and so it's kind of, just let the Russians, at an incredible cost in human lives, take over that remaining part of the Donbass and then in the Kherson region and so forth, and then just everybody can build up their World War I lines, and nobody has to agree to anything.
Right. We
Okay,
could go, as I
then
said, and Charlene did it straight to peace, right? Now,
straight to peace.
Zelensky has, I think, a powerful motive to not have peace because if there is peace and then they have to have elections, then I'm pretty sure he, well, at least my
He's
sense is that
gone.
he will be
The
ousted.
analogy I brought up, Winston Churchill won World War II and he was gone. The
Yeah.
1945 election, he was gone. They just, threw
But on
him
the
out.
other hand, my sense is, and that's why I thought it was interesting having all the European leaders there. I think the point is to send a message to Zelensky that they are not going to continue backing him the way they
Well,
have.
they
So
are. They're
he's.
European leaders. They absolutely are. Macron is, Stramer is, the Polish prime minister. I mean, all those want war. They love war. I
Right,
mean,
but
who
I think they
doesn't?
want, but they want the United States to fund it and to do everything. And when Trump
Yeah,
says.
they don't want to pay it. They never want to pay it themselves. They
Right.
always want to con the U.S., and we're always connable.
And here's this is from Charlene. Bibi needs this war wrapped up. He's got a war to start in Iran. The United States can't fight two wars at once. Plus, BlackRock wants to start rebuilding. That's my thing, Charlene. All of a sudden, the military industrial complex is going to just switch the sign on its door from saying military industrial complex to rebuilding industrial complex.
The
And the
trouble,
same money.
what they need to rebuild primarily is all the towns that the wars have been going in, which is on the Russian side. On the other side, which is a lot of agricultural land, there isn't a whole lot of money to be made
Chuck, you're conflating rebuilding with with actually the need to rebuild. We're talking
Oh,
about
doing something. Yeah,
funding.
that's
Yeah,
true.
we're
That's
talking
true.
about fund. I mean, how much easier is it to rebuild? You don't have to rebuild. You can just then you can just skip that whole rebuilding step. Now you just shuffle the money in and out of people's pockets, right? That's
Yeah.
you sort
In a
of
more traditional manner. Yeah.
right. Yeah, exactly. You sort of save the whole step of having to actually, I don't know, get your hands dirty or something like that. That's what I think. Charlene says exactly. Ukraine flag down. Yeah, exactly. The Ukraine flag down, Israeli flag up on our profile. What are all those poor people though? We have some neighbors still who have the, and this is why you cannot have wars drag on as long as this one has, because they still have the "We stand with Ukraine" and they got little signs up, and you're like, okay, but like we're over that. Everybody, that is so
Oh, that's so
2020 or
yesterday.
whatever. Yeah,
So
not 2020.
yesterday.
Yeah, it's like we can't do that anymore. And there should be some sort of statute of limitation. Like, and there's still, Black Lives Matter. You don't see very many of those around, and you don't see very many of the Ukraine flags down. But at what point, I guess it's kind of awkward if you've been staunchly being the neighborhood "I support Ukraine" person. And maybe you could use Halloween as an excuse, right? You got to put up Halloween decorations anyway, so you might as well take down that Ukraine thing. Plus, that's wrapping up. Okay, switching gears again, and everybody, like I said, feel free to comment because we're kind of jumping all over. There's just so much to talk about today. This is fun, and Chuck, I'll let you go on your Taylor Swift obsession. Chuck has become,
A
sadly,
Swiftie, a total Swiftie,
from my point of
total
view,
Swiftie.
and I may go do laundry or something. Well, no, I won't. I'm kidding. Well, Chuck describes the Taylor Swift thing. He's become obsessed with Taylor Swift.
All right, I'll
Wait,
explain it
let
to
me.
him
I want
again.
to play the James Comey thing because this is fun
Oh,
first,
okay.
okay?
He's, you know, this is a few
Ah,
things
but
that James and I are kind of
you
simpatico
and James Comey share in common. James Comey had, but I think there's conspiracy theories afoot on the internet, though, which I will explain in a second. James Comey posted on his Substack, and when you watch, he's clearly reading it, a lengthy, I think it's like 5 minutes long. I didn't listen to the whole thing, sort of like tribute to Taylor Swift out of the blue, which is, it's creepy. Well, Comey
Very
is creepy
creepy.
in general, but this is
Very creepy.
creepy in its own way. So Thomas, please play the Comey soundbite.
Last week's cold turns out to have been COVID, quite a flashback. And Donald Trump is still president and still humiliating America on a national stage, standing next to Vladimir Putin. It's like a dream, a bad dream you can't wake up from. But I don't want to talk about that bad dream this week. I want to talk about a truly inspirational public figure named Taylor Swift. Of course, I watched her podcast interview with the Kelce brothers. Of course, I watched the whole thing, although on YouTube, Patrice and I got kicked off for the last 15 minutes and finished it on her phone. But I watched it. You see, Taylor Swift and I go way back. I went to my first concert of hers 15 years ago. I've been to a second, and I have helped financially support the attendance of a lot of family members at others. I'm in a family's Swiftie group chat. I know all her music and I listen to it in my headphones when I cut the grass.
And now he goes on and on. There are so many things to talk about here. First, I do not for a second think that James Comey cuts his own grass. I just don't see James Comey. Can you see James Comey out there, like in his little shorts and I don't know, wearing the socks with the sandals or something like that, mowing the grass? I don't believe that. Secondly, what was that weirdness about we were watching it on YouTube, and then we got kicked off of YouTube, and then so we watched it on my wife's phone, right? And then there was the other weird part where he was talking about, and I have financially, I went to a couple concerts and then financially supported my family going to concerts. That was just weird. And he's
Give him
clearly really,
scholarships, full
yeah, gave him
scholarships to go to
scholarships.
the.
What, I bought him a ticket? I mean, what does that
Yeah,
mean? I
that's what he's
financially
talking
supported.
about, buying him a
So
ticket.
the
They're
whole thing is
expensive.
creepy. So here's what. So if you go on the internet and like Thomas says, Comey comes across as such a creep. He does. But some people on the internet are saying, no, this is all code. That Comey has used the internet before, like the Kill Trump thing. That was code, right? And he has used music before, like Crossfire Hurricane, Jumpin' Jack Flash, right? My fake,
Yeah.
because he kind of goes on and on and on after this about his favorite Taylor Swift songs. And somebody's like, no, Taylor Swift is actually Hillary Clinton, who he met, 15 years ago. And this is his secret code to people who are all under investigation because they can't call each other because they're under investigation. They don't know who to trust. That's why he's talking about, I financially supported my family to go to Taylor Swift concerts. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I think one of the most important things you may or may not have noticed is the eye job he had. You always have those baggy eyes.
Right.
And you always wondered, when is he going to go in for surgery to take those out? Well, obviously, if you look at that one, he's had plastic surgery on his eyes.
Oh.
And that's part of the reason why they did the video, because they could take it back a little bit, do it a little fuzzy, so it's not
Right.
exactly clear how much work he had done on his, because he had those baggy eyes, that
Right,
really
right. Oh,
took
that's
away from his
well, the whole.
otherwise good-looking visage.
Well,
So that was half of the message, was,
half the
hey,
message is I'm looking better now. So in case somebody wants to
I'm
book
younger
me.
looking and hipper and everything else,
But
and
he's wearing a
otherwise he.
weird suit, and it wasn't even a well fit. It was a bad, I don't know.
It
And
was
clearly.
weird because he usually dresses very well. He's very tall, so it's not easy for him to.
Oh, Charlene says your eyes are looking pretty good also.
Oh, thank you. I'm not sure you're talking to me or Julie, but yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, no,
But
it was just, I mean, he clearly wrote it because he has a Substack, right? So
thanks.
he clearly wrote it. He's clearly reading it from a teleprompter. And to have
I
that,
clearly
that's
dressed
even,
up, a coat and tie, very
right.
much a
That's not easy to
professional
do. Yeah.
demeanor that you don't see much anymore.
So initially I thought, oh, that's pretty funny about the code. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, I wonder if that is it. I wonder if he's saying, I financially supported my
Don't
favorite.
give in.
My favorite song is this, because it just seemed bizarre,
Yes,
although
yes.
if it's code, it's equally bizarre
Yeah.
because I mean, he's you're talking. So these are the deep state guys. You would, I don't know, if I was a deep state guy, I would think I would have, before I left office, taken some secret code rings or something. Do you know what I mean? I'd have some, get a burner phone. I mean, they know how to do this. You'd think that former head of the CIA knows how to communicate with somebody without having somebody else see them. So I don't know, unless the lawyers have said don't, because then you could be, it violates attorney-client privilege. I don't know. But I
All
just
right.
think.
So, well, James has been a longtime supporter of Taylor Swift. I, like almost all red-blooded American males, have hated Taylor Swift. Found her annoying, self-important. She doesn't know what a tune is because they're all her songs blend together. To have a favorite is to recognize that they're different songs. When she went on the country, what are the music awards, and some black guy came out and said, no, Beyonce deserves that. I agree with the black guy. Beyonce deserves it, not Taylor Swift. So I've hated Taylor Swift. Disliked, hate's too strong a word. Disliked Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's not like you
Turned.
spent a lot of time on it.
No, but because you couldn't avoid it because she was always doing something annoying, supporting Democrats, going against Marsha Blackburn in the Tennessee race, and supporting Joe Biden. I mean, is that disgusting or what? Supporting Joe Biden? That's pretty pathetic. Okay, so I've always disliked Taylor Swift. Then they came up with this video. It's an hour and 20 minutes. Jason Kelce,
It's a
which is
podcast with the
brother,
Kelsey brothers, right?
the Kelce brothers, called New Heights, because they live in Cleveland Heights or something, and
Who
outside
knows?
the city or something. There's some connection to that. And Jason Kelce acts as the MC. And then you have Travis Kelce, and you have her. At the end of the 120 minutes, I became went from a loathing and like all good American males, loathing and disliking to kind of being a fan. And also a fan of Jason. Jason's just a great guy. I mean,
Well,
he's just, he's every man, he's got a beard,
they're killing
he's
it on the
great.
podcast. Now, I will point out
Well,
that.
let me finish. So
Okay.
Travis Kelce is annoying. He's just annoying. I mean, and during the video, he's okay, but he's too much. I mean, he's there to be Vince McMahon for Johnny Carson, who is Taylor. Taylor comes across as the world's greatest human being. The
Well, but can
world's greatest human being. Nice,
it's their
fun.
podcast. It'd be like saying you come across as, well, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Chuck has been,
I'm sorry,
I'll be quiet.
Julie.
I'll be
You
quiet.
haven't
I'll be quiet.
watched the podcast, even though I've
I
urged you to do so. So you really, you do have the incredible capacity not to know anything about a subject, but have very strong opinions on them.
Well, it's a lot easier
But
that way.
she's absolutely engaging, highly intelligent, funny, just great. And she announced her new album, Life of a
That's a
Showgirl.
coincidence.
It's an interesting way to introduce your album.
Yeah.
12 songs, 12 bangers. I don't want to get the album. I don't want to listen to any of the songs. I doubt if they're Very interesting, but maybe they are. I don't
When
know.
you mow the lawn, you could listen to them.
I could, yeah, as I'm mowing, as I mow the lawn about as often as James Comey does. At least I don't pretend I do the lawn, but and so she just comes across the world's most, doesn't drink, just the nicest person. And she's funny, she's intelligent, she has wit, she has sarcasm, and how much of this is this just PR? Well, some of it, because he has you have Travis Kelce and her are very handsy throughout the hour and 20. Well, that stops after a couple of years. What do you mean? They're not just,
It's only been a year.
huh?
It's only been like a year.
Oh no,
Year and a
they
half.
no, it's been a year and a half, close to 2 years.
Whatever. Okay.
They're so tired of each other. I mean, it's just you don't have that handsy touchy thing 2 years later. But anyway, she is fantastic. He is kind of too much. She's going, oh God. And let's face it, I'm a Broncos fan, so I don't like Kansas City. And I
Right.
certainly don't like Travis Kelce either. So I didn't
Right.
like either of them. And after this 120 minutes, I still don't like Travis Kelce. But Taylor Swift is single. I mean, we've all know that whether it's Elvis or Marilyn Monroe, you just go down the list. Fame and fortune do not
Yeah.
make people happy. Oh, there she is, 20 years later, totally normal, totally happy, coming out with a brand new album and so forth. They live together in some $6 million house that Travis has bought, and she's making sourdough bread. She makes great and pop tarts. She also does pop tarts, so you have to remember that.
And okay. Charlene says, and Jacob, we'll get back to your comment here in a second, Jacob. Charlene says her songs are Shakespearean, Dylan-esque prose.
It is
I don't.
Dylan's bro, because Dylan didn't have any tunes. He stole all his tunes, not all of them, most of them, from other songs. I mean, just like Woody Guthrie did. So if you're Blowing in the Wind, there's no auction block anymore. Girl from the North Country is Scarborough Fair. I mean, everyone, if you know enough of older English songs, you can figure out where the tune came from. But he's a lyricist, and she's a lyricist. She's
Charlie says,
describing her
Chuck is
life.
cracking me up. Well, here's the thing. So Chuck and Comey share this bizarre, even
Yeah,
though Comey's is
me
code,
and James
I don't
Comey. I
think
mean,
Chuck is not a code. Yours is not a code. I don't think you're not secretly coding to
this
somebody.
is a code. That's
This is a code
why
to
I got here, the way
Republicans.
everything's, that's all code in here.
Okay, so back to Jacob then. Trump must have had a lot of luck or smarts. He got Putin to meet with him, and Trump took Putin's term to Zelensky. Zelensky agreed to come to for the Oval Office in a jacket. And we talked about this right at the beginning and gave his terms. If the peace agreement or whatever you want to call it comes to fruition, then Trump can ask for anything he wants and he'll get it, like his no mail-in ballot executive order. Well, that's true. He'll get the peace prize. Oh, I just had a thought. You know what he should do, Chuck? You always are the ones who said words matter. So if the Democrats are kind of trying to say we need a ceasefire before we can have peace, right? He could go ahead and say it's a peace ceasefire or something like that. Just throw that in there. Peace and cease, they rhyme. Maybe Taylor Swift could do a song about it.
Could
Oh,
be.
from Jacob. That's right. The Taylor and Taylor Swift's name came from James Taylor, Swift's mother's favorite singer. Yes. I will say this. You're right. Taylor Swift, I mean, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I don't really hate
No
her.
one's a Taylor Swift fan.
But
No normal person,
she seems
no
like a
decent,
nice
honorable person.
person. She seems like she's got a good business head. She clearly seems like she's really smart. So there's that move. Can I move on to another popular cultural? I
No,
don't know.
no, no. More people want to call in. I can see the phone lines jamming
No,
up to
if
talk
Trump had
about
won in
Taylor Swift.
2020, there would be no Russia-Ukraine war. That's true. Putin even said that. So some other fun news on the popular
Oh, all
cultural
right. We
front.
go to.
So MSNBC is no longer MSNBC.
What is it?
Remember, they got split off, right? In the sale with who bought them? Comcast, whoever bought them, right? I
Oh,
can't
somebody
keep.
actually did. They completed that, whatever sale it was.
Yeah, that's done. MSNBC is no, even though when they purchased it, all the people said, oh no, MSNBC, everybody knows what that is, so we would never change the name. Now, of course, no one watches it. MSNBC is going to be MS Now. That stands for My Source News Opinion World. So we can't say
My
MSNBC
source
anymore.
opinion world. Yeah, that's catchy.
My
Wow, that's
exactly.
great. Yeah.
MS
My
Now.
source opinion world. Oh,
News
okay.
Opinion World.
News opinion. Oh, God.
Yeah, MS
That just
Now.
slips off the tongue. That
Right.
just
Well,
slips
and
off the tongue.
here's the thing, and they can no longer use the NBC Peacock in their logo. So they've got this kind
Oh,
of
no, Peacock. No NBC, no nothing.
Jacob says MS now sounds like a child. I want it now. Exactly. Although it's MS capital N, capital O, capital W. And some people, again, I had too much time on my hands today to go through Twitter. They have an American flag, even though MSNBC, now known as MS Now, hates America. They have an American flag at the front that kind of, if you look at it, could be considered a K, which some people say. So it's like KMS Now, which is like kill myself now, which is they say
Yes,
what all the
yes,
people at
yes. All right.
MSNBC are saying.
All right.
And here's another thing, just and then we can go on to other topics. This is also kind of fun. So in the TV world, again, the TV world, the whole broadcast world is, we talked with Peter Boyles about this morning, sort of shakeups. So Tegna is a giant company that owns 64 TV stations in the country, including KUSA, Channel 9 here in Denver, and Kyle
Oh,
Clark.
okay. Okay.
Nexstar owns about 200 TV stations across the country, including Fox 31 here in
Oh,
Denver.
okay.
Nexstar and Tegna are in an advanced talks,
Advanced, okay.
advanced talks for Nexstar to buy Tegna. And
Oh,
a pair,
we only
and
need one owner of all these stations.
well, FCC under the Trump administration apparently is a little bit more willing to look at that than others. So, I mean, apparently the TV stations are saying, like, look, our economy. What would happen in this case is Channel 1 of somebody would go away, is what would probably happen.
Hopefully,
Well,
Channel
they keep.
9.
Well, they
Channel 9
Channel
would
9 would
go.
just become, yes, because Fox 31 would then own Channel 9. So,
Yeah.
that'd be kind
That'd
of
be good.
wacky to see. Well, what would happen is I can tell you, having when Fox bought
Channel 2.
Channel 2, it just got absorbed. So there's still a stuff on Channel 2, but it's all the same thing. They got rid of the TV
Yeah.
station. I mean, and apparently, as you can imagine, people at Channel 9 are freaking out. My prediction is that the FCC will allow some of these state. They will
Well,
change
as
the
long
act.
as somebody pays Donald Trump a
Exactly. Well, as long as
$200 million
they get
something.
rid of Channel 9, and well, I think they can't. I think that it's not sustainable to a certain extent, right? And it's not with the internet and
Nothing's
stuff like that.
sustainable.
It's not the business model is not what it used to be. And so I could see a day coming in the not too distant future where, again, Fox 31, the owner of Fox 31, also owns Channel 9. Everybody's put in the same building. Kyle Clark's, I don't know. I would bet his salary certainly would get slashed. So that's just kind of an interesting thing, too, to keep an eye on.
Well, and by then, Rupert Murdoch would have died, in which case the kiddies will take over and all the communist kiddies will kill Fox. So, you
Then
know.
Fox would be. That's true. That's true. Let's see. So back. So from Charlene, they want a ceasefire to regroup. Imagine a boxer saying, "Let's cease fight for a minute, so his opponent can get his breath." Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Trump is like, "No, we're just going to go straight to peace." Jacob says, "MS now," or like Mika Brzezinski saying, "Joe, not now." Joe, not now or ever. And Jacob says, what's Kathy Sabin going to do? Throw in KNUS, same difference. That's right. Yeah, all those people, all of those, they'll keep what will happen is if they merge, which is what they would do, number one, they probably get rid of one of the buildings, probably KUSA, because Fox, when they built the Fox TV station, there was at the time an assumption that the whole Fox network would be there, right? And it's not. So they've got tons of room there. And Channel 9's probably a little bit better situated for apartments and high density development, which is what Denver wants.
Which we need
And they would
everywhere.
probably keep the most popular anchors, but they would totally slash their salaries. Yeah, from Jacob, KMGH is a new building. Yep, they moved into same thing. It's all has to do. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I just love MS Now. I want to hear. I don't know when it starts, but it looks like it starts pretty soon. It
Oh,
looks like
good.
they're like, look, we're not associated anymore. So and you can't use the Peacock thing in spite of the fact that we told you. So that's kind of crazy, don't you think?
I think that's concerning.
It's concerning. It's concerning. Okay, then the other thing we wanted to talk about, and I'll let you kind of launch this, is there was a story in the Denver Post about Westminster's downtown, and it made it sound like Westminster's new great downtown with like at Sheraton and like 88th there, what used to be the old Westminster Mall. It's like, oh, it's going to boom, it's going to boom. And then when you read the article, it's like, no, nothing is happening, right?
Yeah, I mean, oh, there are lots of downtowns that were started. Broomfield started one, and other places. Denver is trying to resuscitate theirs, and all of them are kind of going to shit. This one, Herb Atkinson was the mayor, and for I don't know how many years, but all hat, no cattle, Herb, just flowed the city funds to this developer out of Minnesota, and they started out with some pretty good tenants at one time. Although it never really had a place to it. I mean, never had a feeling of a downtown, but they had Tatted Cover and a few others, all of which have now pulled out. So this story by the Post says that, oh boy, they're going to have a Chinese or Asian, not Chinese, Asian food court, and then more section low-income housing. Nothing says downtown like low-income housing and some Asian food stuff. So. And so it's now really going to be hopping, and you can just turn more things
it
into
didn't.
apartments.
And what's interesting, because we want to kind of broaden this out, because so you had with Westminster, the theory was once again, the urban planners, it's like, there is theoretically, there's supposed to be a light rail station there. Well, there's not, right? But you do have a bus stop there, I guess. You're going to build up
Yay.
all this high density development, all these, essentially, I'm sorry, but not very nice apartments, right? And then you're going to have this little downtown area around it. You're going to have like a splash court, maybe a concert space, all these restaurants and things like that. And everybody will, and no parking, no parking. And
You don't want
everybody, and there's,
parking. That's parking is verboten in Colorado these days.
right. And bizarrely, they have a Penny's there, which has been there forever. But and
But
then
which
the
has to
theory
be going
was,
broke. I mean,
oh yeah, the theory is everybody would just then, live and work in this little environment. And if they had to go to downtown Denver for some reason, they'd take the bus. Well, of course, that didn't work out at all, right? So they've got these kind of icky, well, not icky, but they're not very nice apartments. All of the restaurants, like all two of them, have closed. Like you said, the Tattered Cover went away. There is no parking. And the way they designed it, because again, they're so anti-car, you can't really drive through it. It takes you like,
no,
so
no,
I mean,
no
just,
driving through it. No.
no. So no, because they don't want cars there, right? And
Hate
so
cars.
the
Hate
plan
cars.
was that they were supposed to have all these other things. There's this whole mess of property, and it's just like piles of dirt with weeds in it. I mean, if you were to look at it, it doesn't look like a vibrant downtown. It looks like a construction zone that's gone into bankruptcy, basically.
Couldn't
Right?
be better than that. That's that. Nothing says urban lifestyle in bankruptcy and in a dirt pile.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a very nice article, but when you read it, you went, well, wait a minute, this is a disaster. This is just a disaster. Herb Atchison has screwed us.
Well, and there's no one developing it. That becomes the other problem. It's like
Yeah,
if you're a
the
developer in
Minnesota
Colorado,
guy pulled out. I said, I'm out of here.
well, because if you're a developer in Colorado, you've number one, the state of Colorado has become so anti-business, so
Yeah.
anti-developer. Housing prices are going down, prices are going down. People are moving out of Colorado. People are not moving into Colorado. We've raised the minimum wage to over $20 in Denver. The homeless people, I mean, I was, it's ridiculous anymore. And then they wonder, why does, what do you mean people don't want to build a downtown here? And you look at, like we've talked before, and in the Chronicle, the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle has done numerous stories about what they're doing in Denver. So what do? They destroy the 16th Street Mall with crime and hopelessness, right?
Yes.
Then they say, okay, well, let's take part of the city that's doing okay, the Colfax Avenue, right?
Screw
And a
that
lot of
one. Yeah.
businesses, a lot of stores there, there's apartments.
Get rid of
Let's
those people.
get rid of that and move and put in a bus lane now that no one is riding the buses anymore because it's so dangerous. And then what do? They destroy South Broadway with a bike lane that no one rides into. It's like, so they've destroyed their sales tax. They're laying off workers, city employees today. It's like the current governments think, what can we do to destroy any downtown that we currently have, and what can
Yes.
we do to make sure that any downtown we're going to build totally fails?
Yes. And I read, I used to be in the petroleum building, the law firm I was with. We took over the top floor from an oil company. It was beautiful. I had a
Yeah.
beautiful, I looked over. They're going to change those into apartments. Great office building, apartments, disaster.
Oh,
Another disaster.
well,
Just
yeah.
another wonderful disaster. And eventually, all this takes a little bit of time, but the apartment boom will eventually die, ignominious death, hopefully. But until then, they'll just build up more low-income housing. And it's pathetic. I mean, it's pathetic. And how this is all gonna work out, who knows?
Well, it's not. I mean, that's the thing. You look at Denver, right? I mean, the sales tax, Johnson is still insisting on, on protecting homelessness and drug dealers and drug addicts, things like that. They're not cutting the businesses any slack at all. And then they wonder what's going on. We have Charlene is saying, you two have no imagination. Can't you see the downtown in any of that? It's like, and then Jacob, talking about downtown, last week I worked a convention at the Sheraton downtown. I walked onto the 16th Street side of the building. It brought back memories of when on Saturday nights people would cruise 16th and I would think it was a Buster Snyder policeman who would be issuing moving violation tickets to drivers who were missing headlights or taillights that were broken by Snyder. That takes us way back. Buster Snyder, Jacob, was before my time even, right? At the he was a Denver police officer who had ethical challenges, I think would be the way to put it. From Jacob, I have a picture of the house that was the office of Garash Miranda.
Oh yeah, a little home. That was a great
And
little
Scott
and a parking
Roberts,
lot. That was a great little thing,
yeah,
yeah.
the windows were boarded up. It's all very sad. Oh, that was a gorgeous building, and that's when it's
Well,
kind
great.
of
This
right
little
across
kind
in
of
the city and
Victorian
county.
house. I mean, they wouldn't
Right, it was
build
gorgeous inside, right across in the city and county. Well, maybe they're going to put, and from Charlene, Denver does have nostalgia going for it. Yeah, not, I don't know, but it is again these when you have urban planners who ignore how people live and where people work, and they build this, in their from their urban planning college days, these communities that nobody wants to live in. So therefore, if nobody lives in them, nobody wants to have a restaurant there, and you don't even want to have a restaurant there if you for people who don't live there because you can't get to it, right? There's, you'd have to park in the PGA Superstar lot and run across the street. There was no parking. And then on top of that, nobody's riding the bus. I mean, it's not even convenient to go. The bus doesn't even, I mean, it's just a disaster. And if you're a developer, you're like, well, why would I want to develop here? In the meantime, there are two other big developments going on. So same thing, Broomfield tried to do that with the event center, right? They build a million
which I thought was a
apartments.
great idea. I thought the whole thing would have apartments around it, have venues. I mean, I thought it was a great plan, and well thought out and everything else. And it's been an unmitigated disaster because the event center, there was no market for, I guess, a smaller event center. And so it cost more just to sit there. I don't know how many millions were put in, but you said now it's officially torn down.
Yeah, they tore down. I drove by the other day. I'm like, what happened to that? Well, it was
Well, they
covered
have
with
more
graffiti.
apartments than,
It was kind of like
more
the
low
channels.
income affordable apartments.
It was kind of like the Channel 7 building, right? It got taken over by homeless people and graffiti, so they had to do something. But that's just interesting. Again, it's you can't like in, you have to in Colorado, at least, and in the Denver metropolitan area, people still drive to work. And again, the buses are a disaster. Nobody rides the buses. They never go where you want to go, when you want to go there. And they keep trying to build all these apartment complexes based around a bus system that no one, or a transit system that no one uses, and then it fails. And then the cities wonder, well, huh, I wonder what happened there, right? And in the meantime, as you know, typically cities and in Westminster, they did this, they give the developer all kinds of deals. So now
Oh
the
yeah.
city has zero money coming in.
Oh yeah. Well, the city's all set. They give away all the sales tax for 10 years, and then by the end of the 10 years, there's no sales tax to have.
Let me ask you a two-part question, and we talk about this a
Two-part
lot.
question. All right.
Number one, what do you think, if anything, it'll take for the voters of Denver to start changing things? And is Denver coming back, do you think, like like literally in our lifetime?
Well, I thought about it for a while. I think one thing could really make a difference and change Denver, which would be thermonuclear war. I mean, I'm not just
Start
dropping it on.
over.
Yeah, start over. Just wipe the whole
True. Then
stinking
everybody's going to
mess.
find new places to live. They can come up to Westminster.
And they were thinking about that because they were going to build a power plant, a nuclear power
Oh,
plant.
that's right. A nuclear power
Yeah.
plant at DIA, but
At DIA or maybe downtown, and maybe they could it could internally combust and just blow the hell out of and the entire front
You
range.
know, on that, what a wacky topic. It's like, number one, the Democrats are so hard to follow because I thought they hated, because we had nuclear power plants in Colorado and we got rid of them, right? The
Yeah,
St.
same
Fort
thing.
St. Vrain, the St. Vrain nuclear power plant. And we got rid of it because they were so
Well, Democrats
bad.
didn't used to love war. Now they love war. I mean, you
Okay,
gotta have the
well, that's a
war.
good point. Now they like it. But even I'm thinking to myself, what could go south with a nuclear power plant
Nothing. It's
at the
crazy.
airport with the planes flying in and out? And I mean,
Oh, I'd agree. I
what could
agree.
go wrong with that? Even
Oh.
I'm like, of all the places, I don't know. If I were an urban planner, maybe they could put a nuclear power plant at the Westminster downtown. I mean,
Yeah,
there's room.
it'd work. It'd
There's
work. It
room.
would.
But if I were gonna, build a nuclear power plant, I would put it kind of far away from a lot of places, right? Not like in the heart,
Yeah,
because that's.
but then people have to drive there.
But that's gonna. I
And the
mean, that would
workers
be
would have to
bad
drive.
for your property. Can you imagine if you lived in Reunion? Right, or some parts of up there where they're like, what's that? You're trying to sell your house, and they're like, what's that over there? Like, oh, it's a nuclear power plant. I mean, people don't like
Electricity needs are
Targets
going
in
to be
their
bad.
neighborhood, right? People
Electricity.
want to live next to landfills. It's like nuclear power
Another great thing about
plant.
the Denver Post are there's a city woman, councilwoman named Sarah Namilla, who's just awful. I mean, just like, I don't know who's the world's worst person, but she would probably be it. And she has a urban planning degree, I think, from Harvard.
Yeah.
And the kind, quoting her, which is, yeah, this is great. This is so cool.
Oh, this is
All this
Charlene.
affordable housing.
Charlene agrees. It was a bizarre nuclear powered DIA that you said maybe they need it for the underground city at DIA. That's right, Charlene. All the people who live at that underground city.
Need
The
some
secret
source
address.
of energy.
And here from Jacob, we can kind of wrap up. The following was the hottest day on record in the United States and was man-made climate change. The world's first atomic bomb test, codenamed Trinity, was conducted at the Alamogordo bombing range in New Mexico, now part of the White Sands Missile Range. The specific location of the range was approximately 210 miles south of Los Alamos, New Mexico. The test took place on July 16th, 1945. That was the hottest day of the year. So, well, again, is that and so what could go wrong with having a nuclear power plant
Nothing.
at
Nothing.
DIA? Oh, the temperature was 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. That's climate change. You know that climate change, Jacob, and it's a cloud seeding that they're doing too. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Wednesday, we're going to have Newsmax columnist Jed Dunning. He has a great column up about why Trump's border revolution has to sort of remain in place, sort of the country has a moral obligation. And who knows, by then we might have a peace ceasefire. No, we might have peace, although.
Breaking out in the Ukraine.
Peace breaking out in the Ukraine. Exactly. And we may have decoded James Comey's Taylor Swift message. So,
By
all kinds of
then,
things.
we'll give you the full interpretation.
Charlene, this is a comedy hour. Hey, thank you, everybody on Zoom. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. And we will see you all on Wednesday.
Bye.